Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Justin Nimmergood, only on LA Talk Radio.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to another exciting episode of the Concierge Coaches Show here on LA Talk Radio. I'm Bruce Cameron, along with Justin Nimmergood.
Hello, everyone. Hope everyone's having a great Monday so far, had a great weekend. I don't know about you, Bruce, but I'm extremely fired up about today's episode. Obviously, I get to see you first and foremost, and our subscribers and listeners out there now can be visually, hopefully, entertained by us for the next 45 minutes or so here as well.
Excellent. Yeah. So we're going to try this platform first time out. Well, I'm sure it'll work out better. I know we'll probably have to get one of these microphones that goes with the iPhone to get a little bit better audio quality. But so anyway, glad to be here. So we're being COVID safe, right? Even though we're in a fairly safe community.
We're definitely practicing our social distancing, as you can tell here. You know, in spite of, there's a lot going on, and we have a really exciting show for you today, covering the basis. We want to make sure and go back and still cover the basis of what's going on as far as the latest and greatest updates respective to COVID-19. Also, how that may or may not impact you as a small business owner, right? So we'll review, some of this is going to be review from prior weeks, but we're just stacking this because the updates are coming in and they are changing weekly, sometimes even daily. And then what we really are excited to talk to you today about for all our listeners out there is the 7 tips to keeping your business going during the coronavirus downturn, right? So there's been various articles and various tips and that in mind flying around the market. Bruce and I have had a chance to scour the internet and obviously go back into our own memory bank as far as, hey, what's really working right now as far as coronavirus, right? And combating the coronavirus from a business perspective. So we're excited to make sure we cover that off. But first and foremost, as always, right, Bruce, I don't know about you, but I had a pretty uneventful weekend. I did a lot of studying and a lot of painting. So I did painting Jess's fence on Saturday. I don't know if you saw my
I saw that.
But let me tell you, painting a fence in Texas is an art. It's not a science. It's definitely an art form. And especially when the humidity kicks in and the paint starts dripping down the fence, I'll tell you what, it's not the easiest task in the world, but learned a lot, and you know, we got it done like just in the nick of time before the rain came through on Saturday evening there. So and then, you know, spent most of yesterday continuing to study for my renewal for my realtor's license. You know, it's just one of the many lines of business that I have, so it's been fun. It's been a process. I'm about I don't know, about 40 or 50% done now. Hoping to knock that out by the end of the month or, you know, first second week of May, certainly. So pretty uneventful for me. How about you guys? What was going on in the Cameron household this past weekend?
Yeah, I took advantage of a COVID-19 economy, and I got a car. Yeah.
Oh. So,
yeah. Yeah, I got a car. Yeah.
So you want to tell us what kind of car you got, or is this a surprise?
No, man, it's back in its heyday, it was a six-figure car. So
I got
a fraction of the cost, and traded in old red, when they saw the 860 credit score, they were frothing at the mouth. So anyway.
They're like, okay, we this is a no-brainer for them, probably.
Yeah.
So no more truck then, huh?
No more truck, man. Back, This was kind of a dream car I've always wanted, and my son found it on Car Gurus, and it was just sitting there, and it had been on the dealer's lot for about 30 days. And, you know, we're coming toward the end of the month, and they were super motivated to get rid of it. And there's just not a lot of people in that space right now buying cars.
Yep.
Nor that I think I would be one of those individuals. But so that was the big deal there, and getting that. And I'm looking at some other accessories and stuff like that for it. So it's just kind of a, it's kind of a shock, because I didn't even think I was going to go in that direction. It just literally dropped in my lap. I had no inclination to even look at it. So shout out to my son for thinking about dad's bucket list, though. So hopefully he can find a beach house here in a few weeks. And
there we go. Put him on tour duty. The go research to you. That's good. And you know what? You know, I won't let the listeners in on how you know what your age is or anything. But I think once you get past the age of reason and wisdom, which you clearly are, at least compared to me, anyway. You know, you gotta treat yourself sometimes, right? You gotta treat yourself. So
and this was not going to be on the lot long. I mean, probably the next day. The economy. Actually, there was another guy who was trying to get it. His credit score sucked. And I was a clear winner, you know, on the arm wrestle there for this poor dude. But so that was a big news. And some other big news, we have kittens, another unintended, we have outdoor cats that had kittens. Mm-hmm. and just trying to deal with that. It's been a nightmare. I didn't realize that for a kitten to be able to urinate and do its bodily functions, it needs the mama cat to lick its butt. And anyway, I'm not Steve Irwin by any means, so we had to outsource these kitten maintenance issues. And holy cow, but I did find a good home for them, and hopefully the mom cat as well. So I can't be having I don't want to have my own animal preserve out there. So anyway,
no good. That's no good at all.
No.
Well, since you brought up the car situation, do you want to maybe talk a little bit more about how that works as far as any stimulus funding or whatnot? Because I'm sure, you know, there's other listeners out there that might be, and if it doesn't apply, that's fine, right? We don't have to go into the depths of it. But I think there, from what I read, there is something associated with it, but I'm not as familiar. I mean, was there anything related to the stimulus that no? Okay.
No? Just market forces. I mean, there is just, you know, I mean, nobody in the dealership, hardly, you know, just a straight economic play based on, you know, the need for a stimulus and based on millions of people being laid off and et cetera, et cetera. You know what I mean? And certain markets for certain goods and services being nearly a flat line. So other than that, I mean, there's just the economic conditions that play a factor. But yeah, no stimulus.
No stimulus for luxury vehicles.
I don't. Yeah, that's just no. We're good, and we're really blessed to be able to be in a position where we can respond. We can respond to a deal when we see it. So,
absolutely. Absolutely. Let me ask you, let's open with this as we roll into our seven tips, but I want to open with some more of the updates, you know, latest and greatest updates regarding COVID-19 for today.
Right.
What's your take on the recent news of, now I read as of this morning, Shake Shack sent the money back, but there's a couple companies out there that have basically been granted an exorbitant amount of money from the government, $10 million plus. And you know, what's your take on that? You know, as compared to where I know a lot of the small businesses right now are just hurting, right? They're hurting. Thoughts on that? You know, just to kind of get us warmed up here for today.
you know, my thoughts are, you know, I have relationships with several bankers and my CPAs, and those people are in the know with these things on how to access the funds and how to do that. You know what I mean? And I'm not smart enough to figure that out. I'm not going to go that direction, at least at this time. I don't have a need to, nor a desire to, but I mean, my professionals that help handle my stuff, you know, that, oh, you could do this, you could do that, you could do the other thing. And so again, I would really rely a lot of this money, COVID money, is really, your bankers understand this. So if you have a bank account somewhere, your bankers understand how that money is rolling out and through what banks and whatever. So even if it's a competitive bank, they're going to understand that because they are acutely aware of these COVID funds. And this is an opportunity for many financial institutions to service customers with this stuff. So those are my thoughts.
Yeah. You know, obviously the bankers, in most cases, except, you know, maybe 2007 when people were getting a little greedy, you know, generally know best. These are trained professionals. They're experts in this area. However, I will say it is somewhat disheartening. It feels like, I mean, this is just an emotional response. It's not logical at all. But it kind of feels like a lot of the progress that's been made for small businesses in the U.S., has all but been halted and or negated by a lot of the coronavirus efforts or lack thereof in some cases. And so, you know, this country, which I'm so proud and obviously blessed, you know, as I know you feel the same way to live in, right? Especially as an entrepreneur and small business owner, you know, we're afforded so many rights and opportunities that are just not afforded in other countries across the globe. It just feels a little off. I can't really put my finger on it yet. I'm sure they're working on something. I do know, because I don't tune into the news per se in terms of like watching the news, but I do read every day. I've been reading just a little bit, couple articles or whatnot to stay up to date and current with it, but not overdoing it where I'm like obsessing about coronavirus. Because I'll tell you folks, one thing, you know, I've come to learn over the years is if you obsess about anything too much, it's usually not good. And especially things that are driven by the media. And this certainly is driven by the media. So who knows what is really reality, if you will, for this situation. But I have seen documented in several cases, meaning it's probably true, that there's a couple different bills that are under review right now. One is a bill to basically add an additional, or basically level it out at $2,000 per person in the U.S. I guess it'd probably be a registered citizens, obviously, you know, of the U.S. for the next 12 months. And then that would be backdated to March 13th, which they're stamping as sort of the coronavirus inflection date. So that one was kind of interesting. And then similarly, a backdate, again, to the 13th for rent, right? So rent and mortgage payments, and basically waiving rent and mortgage payments for the next year, backdated to March 13th. Both bills are under review. I don't know if they're going to try to pass both simultaneously. Personally, I hope not, because I think if you pass both bills, we're going to be in a huge economic deficit a year or two from now.
Right.
But I could see the value in one or the other of those, because from what I see, you know, the economy, it's going to take more than 4 months, you know, for the economy to recover, which I know was the initial bill or grant that they've passed for rent, rent subsidy or rent, rent relief, if you will, in most states. So that's pretty interesting. That was pretty interesting news that I read recently. The SBA loans are actively being paid out. So keep your pulse on that. If you have not, applied for that yet. We've talked about this for the last 3 weeks. This is a must. If you're a small business owner, well, it's not a must, but if you're in any type of financial position where you need the money, I should say, not everyone does. And if you don't, by the way, don't apply for it, right? It's not necessary.
Right.
Being greedy,
right?
And I've seen a lot of documented cases of people on social media in particular that are saying, hey, if someone needs some food, or I just love seeing that. You know, that really just speaks to America and what makes America such a unique place to live, that I think you won't find too many other countries across the globe. But for those of you that do need the stimulus, you need the funding right now, make sure you apply to it if you have not yet. I can almost assure you that they're probably going to run out of applications within about the next month. Even though they're going to be accepting them through September, you got to figure there's millions of small businesses across the country. Most of those are impacted, so you figure more than 50% of those are impacted. You need to be on the pulse about this, for sure. And just to clarify, because you know we've had a lot of discussion about it, there is a $10,000 forgivable loan under the SBA, under the EIDL, which is the economic, basically disaster loan recovery group, right, that they're putting out there. And if you need it and you have payroll, this is the key, if you have payroll, that's the forgivable part. Then, and that's up to 75%, so $7,500 of the $10,000 would be forgivable for payroll, which means you have to have employees. That's the
right.
key.
Right.
Because I was actually exploring that one for myself, Bruce, but my CPA was like, yeah, you can't unless you have employees. So kind of sucks, because if you're one of those that operates as like I did, where I paid out a lot of different 1099 contractors last year, it actually doesn't apply. You have to have formal W-2 employees on payroll, and then it would apply to you. So that is the one kicker on that. The other 25%, which is not forgivable, but you could apply for, could be for miscellaneous expenses. So again, this could be your business supplies, your whatever you might think of that would be business related expenses, this would be applicable for that. So keep that in mind as you are, you know, all you small business owners out there, again, just make sure you're turning over every stone that you can related to economic stimulus and funding right now. Because I can almost assure you it's going to be one of these waves where everyone is impacted right now. But those that move quickly and move methodically are going to come out of this much better and much faster than those that don't, right? It's like right. anything. But you want to come out of this faster and be sort of a first mover on the tail end of this, you know, or do you want to be a laggard and basically at the whim of everyone else, right? And if right. you know anything, you know, about survival of the fittest, we're kind of in a survival of the fittest situation. Even though, you know, we're all helping one another, there's an element of survival of the fittest that definitely takes shape here. So keep that in mind.
Definitely, definitely. Yeah.
Did I forget anything regarding that? I know that was a lot as far as the SBA and whatnot updates. Anything else in that regard?
No, I mean, be a good steward of the resources out there and realize that it is government. I know in one of my companies, there's some laws that are letting federal inmates out of prison because of the COVID-19 crisis. But a lot of people are disappointed because only that many people are going to get out. It's usually the ones that are in their 60s or 70s. They've done 50% of their time. Their first offenders are low-risk offenders to society. And, so not everybody got it, right? Not everybody made the COVID train, hit the COVID wave. You know, and some of the places that were higher infected, they widened the criteria. And such will be the case with this SBA. I think since it's a government entity, they'll take a look at things, look at the application, look at your taxes and stuff like that, and see what it is, you know. But anyway, just, you know, we talk about mindset, right, and coaching. Well, just because you're entitled to something or you could get something doesn't mean you'll get it, or even
right.
possibly you should get it, to be honest with you, even though you think you're entitled. And so just be real careful out there, because it's going to be frustrating. You know, the servers are shut down and, you know, people are flying, you know, trying for unemployment and can't get their unemployment. They certainly deserve it, right? They lost their job. Can they get it? Some can, some can't. So do the best you can, but have a level mindset going into these things to get it. And I get it, man. If you're behind on your bills and you're struggling, man, I'd be frustrated too. But you don't control this. You control your attitude. You control your actions, but you're not controlling the SBA. You're not controlling the Texas Workforce Commission or California. You know what I mean? So be mindful. Be diligent in your efforts, but watch your emotions as you go through this process.
Yeah, it's really, really important to keep our emotions in check right now. And, you know, I'm reminded of an old adage, you know, when emotions are high, intelligence is low. And yeah. We're seeing a lot of that right now, you know, whether it's, I mean, just you can turn on the news and you'll see plenty of it going on. But the bottom line is, as much as you can, try to think of being steady-handed. I know it's easier said than done, folks. But again, to my earlier points about being on the front end of this stuff, also those who are emotionally in check and aware and keep their emotions in check through this process and don't do anything stupid, are also going to come out of this on the back end sitting much prettier than those that don't. And so don't get caught, you know, getting drunk one night, you know, when you shouldn't be, you know, in the wrong place at the wrong time. We've all heard it. It only takes one mistake like that. And believe me, I've had plenty of those type of, you know, situations or been around those situations, and you're thankful to get out of it. But it only takes one mistake like that, and you're pretty much done. So especially right now, when they're helping as many people as they can, they're not going to be helping those that are making stupid mistakes right now. So keep that in mind as well.
Correct.
All right. Well, I think we've about covered as far as status updates and economic updates for coronavirus for right now. Let's move on to our topic for today. The 7 tips for keeping your business going during the coronavirus downturn, right? We've shared several different strategies, tips, tricks, tactics over the last several weeks with you in our series on coronavirus. Hopefully you all have enjoyed it or at least gotten value out of it. That's why we do this show in the first place, is if you walk away from this podcast and you take one golden nugget with you, then we've done our job, right? And that's really why we do this at the end of the day. Bruce, you want to maybe start with number one on our list here?
Please do.
Okay. So I'll kick us off. So you do the evens and I'll do the odds here. Okay. Number one, care for your people. So number one is all about establishing a robust and frequent communication with your employees. And if you don't have employees, so this doesn't have to apply to just employees, it can apply to contractors, partners, even family members and advisors, right? So think about, I use the term concentric circles, right?
Right.
So in your business, you are the, let's say you're the sole prop or you're the sole operator even. Well, your business, I can almost guarantee you, does not run without you talking to someone else, having a business deal with someone else, having financing with someone else. There's other people that are involved in your ecosystem, right? So about your concentric circles, small circle is you and maybe your immediate like board of directors, right? And then as you work outward from there, your concentric circles get larger and larger and larger, right? And for those of you that have gone through a workshop training with me, I do a really robust exercise on this that really illuminates the point. But for you that are related to, you know, and related to coronavirus right now, think about it. Think about your concentric circles. Start inward and work outward. write the names down of the people. If you haven't yet, hopefully you know most of them off the top of your head. But if you don't, maybe take, 15 minutes. It's not going to kill you. Write down, take a sheet of paper, right? I do this every day and write down. And you can even draw in circles if that helps you, right? My inner ring is this. My next outer ring is this. My next outer ring is that.
That's right.
And understand how they're personally being impacted by the virus and provide reassurances where possible on how you plan to support them. So this is the key part of number one here. Let's just use partner network for an example. And these could be affiliates. These could be direct partners that are reselling your product or service. They could be promoting your product or service. This is essential because right now there's a big rift, right? There's a big shakeup, right? It's like the old adage, shaken apple tree. Right now the apple tree is being shook, right? And apples are going to fall. And you want to be one of those apples along with your network, be those apples that stay on there so they can ripen properly and get through and weather this storm. And the way you're going to do that is you're going to reassure your partner network, your employees, your board of directors, right? And it's not just saying, hey, it's going to be okay. We're going to get through this, right? You really need to have a concise, clear plan. People will follow you from thousands, if not millions of miles, if you have a clear plan of action. One that is concise, one that is methodical, that has steps outlined. By the way, Bruce, the list, check your email. I emailed it to you. Someone's behind on his email. That's okay.
I'm looking. I don't see it. Can you resend it? Is what I'm kind of angling for.
Okay. Yeah, I'm sure I can. Thank you. So while I'm resending that, folks, thank you for bearing with me, everyone. There's a link. Do you see the link in there? Here, I'm just going to resend it to you right now.
Yeah, resend. See,
this is the beauty of leveraging technology, is on the fly. And so in future sessions, by the way, folks, we'll get more advanced with this. So if we have slideware, if we have graphics to share with you, we will. This is our inaugural episode. Broadcast stream live. So, we're just doing it sort of old school by video standards and just doing it via video today. So thanks for bearing with us. I sent it to you. You should have it in your inbox.
I got it.
All right. So that is key. Methodical, clear, concise plan of action that outlines the steps, outlines the timeline. You can reference SMART goals, specific, measurable, achievable, realistic, and time bound. And your folks, your board of directors, your partners, your employees will all be reassured. That's what will make them good about continuing to align with you. Because you got to remember, when a shakeout like this happens, when everyone comes out of this storm, okay, the landscape is going to be different, folks. It just is. The way we do business is going to, it already is different, clearly, but the landscape is going to be different. Some of the companies that you once used are going to be out of business. I hate to break it to you, but that's the truth. They're going to be out of business. So that's that. There's going to be new entrants that are going to come out that are going to say, hey, we have a market opportunity to take advantage of this situation and maybe, provide business continuity planning services or whatever, right? But the ones that you've partnered with that make it through the storm, they're going to want to continue to align with you if they feel good about you, right? People like anything. It's like Maslow's hierarchy of needs. They want to feel secure. They want to feel secure at the end of the day. So that's number one. I'll turn it to you, Bruce, for number two.
All right. So number two is building a governance system. Now, this is a little bit different, right? If we weren't in a pandemic and we weren't in a national emergency, our thinking about how we ran or kind of vision casting and responses to things would be different. So, but this model looks at three levels, the immediate. Okay. So the first part is the immediate. And that's just the day-to-day operation. Who's still around, who's running your operation, who are the personnel involved, who do we have on deck actually working and you know, basically that. Who do we have, you know, that's actually working and what are they doing? That's the day-to-day business operation. The next is the medium term. And the medium term in a situation like this really pertains to, are there going to be possible layoffs? Okay. Because as the shutdown goes more and more and more, you're not going to have enough for salary. Are you going to furlough staff? Are you going to rotate schedules? Are you going to have people work half time? You know, a lot of companies have gotten creative where they kind of switch things out, or they telecommute more, or they work half time to kind of keep their employees hired. So one thing would be managing the staff issues. And also the cash, your cash conservation. How are you going to manage that? Your cash flow. How are you going to conserve what you do have? How can you make it last longer? How can you guys possibly, you know, keep the doors open longer in this pandemic until the economy hadn't come back yet? I know there's plans to do it. There's going to be a phase system, certain states before others. Like Justin said, the landscape as you knew it's probably going to look a lot different. Some of the people, vendors, might not be there. We certainly want you to be there. You know, we want us to be here and there and still operational. So, really looking at your cash conservation, and then lastly, the kind of long term is the long term, the economic impact. Okay, what are you doing moving forward? And this is going to sound corny. So in my revenue streams, I do a lot more phone work. I mean, a crud ton more phone work. Number two, I have PayPal and Venmo now. I could get by with PayPal and, you know, whatever, but now I have Venmo. So it's kind of forced me. I'm adding a telehealth section to one of my revenue streams. Because Justin, I don't think the landscape's going to change. As a matter of fact, I'm getting clients out of state calling me like, so do you do telehealth like everybody else? I'm like, well, yeah, I just don't really put on my website. Well, hey, you know, we're in Wichita Falls and we want to retain you. And I'm like, okay. You know, I'm like, here's my name on Venmo. Here's this. I'll email you the paperwork and we're kind of off and running. Wow. For a lot of, you know, for some of you, it's no big deal because you work from home, you telecommute, like, oh, you know, this old baby boomer, get him off the, you know, where's the hook, you know, but dang, you know, I'm kind of coming into the 90s here real quick with the Venmo and the telework and then, you know, doing this more. I mean, this is kind of a new thing and a little bit different. So that's going to be the economic, you know, long-term economic impact. And Justin, I'm sure you have your training is in business, so you may have some more wisdom on the long-term economic impact here.
Well, the long-term economic impact is just more mobilized work environment, I think, right? So it's interesting because it's trends that were trying to be built up. I remember my early days at Cisco. You know, this was about almost 10 years ago now, 10, 12 years ago now. And this was what Cisco was actively promoting in the marketplace. And it's almost like it was too far ahead of its time.
Right. It's pretty spacey.
Now, finally, 10, 12 years later, and a complete global crisis, and everyone's on video conference, everyone's doing everything over technology. And I think, so the pendulum, basically, imagine it, you know, pendulum's over here, right? And it was face-to-face and, you know, even though we used the computer for some things, it was, you know, written word for some things still. And so the pendulum swung all the way over here, right? So now we're over here. And I think the pendulum is going to tilt back a little bit, but it's not going to tilt back all the way to where it was. That's what I think is going to happen out of this. So that's my personal opinion anyway. I'm sticking to it. Let's move on to number three. Number three, run risk assessments. So, to summarize this one's pretty straightforward. If there are certain operational tactics that you employ in your business, certain everyday operational functions that you're employing, you should be running risk assessments to determine whether they are risky ventures or not, risky tactics or not. Okay. What do I mean by that? Well, let's assume, for example, you're a manufacturing business. You manufacture, let's just use something simple like t-shirts. Okay. You're a t-shirt manufacturer, and pre-coronavirus, you had certain safety policies and procedures in place. Well, post-coronavirus, you're going to have to implement a whole different set of safety practices. And there's certain risk assessments that you can actually run virtually to determine best steps forward in that process. And that's just one. Obviously, pretty much any profession you can think of is going to have their own set of procedural things that they're doing on a daily basis. That's part of their business modality, and that's fine, right? But risk assessments is just determining hygiene, safety measures needed to safeguard humans, finances, technology, and operations during an outbreak. Because, I'll be honest, if you've been reading anything, a lot of people think this might have a second wave, and if it does, you want to be prepared for it. So that's what number three is talking about.
Real quick, I want to add on three. When I was helping run federal prisons, we had something called contingency plans. It was just this. When everything hits the fan, you have a riot, outbreak, a suicide, whatever, a food strike, a tornado blows down the fence. We have all these contingency plans. So if this happens, we do that. If that happens, we do this. We engage these other sectors. And so it's just a play on words, but really, I mean, and Justin's right, is, man, we have to think in these terms now. We have to think that we're kind of running, okay, what do we do? Just kind of like, I think every family, doesn't every family have like a fire escape plan, right? Remember, if there's a fire, you know where to go, which window to jump out of or whatever. Well, now we have this kind of fire escape plans in our businesses, right? That are very similar to that. What are we going to do? And so I know, I'm grateful that, for some of the practices that I've had, but I'm going to really fortify some others. So this comes into the next one, and that is pushing external communications. Okay. So if you notice, a lot of companies during the pandemic, if you've been checking your email, which I know you have, everybody that you're associated with has probably given you an email, giving you some, like, during this time, here's what our company is doing, right? We're doing this, we're doing that, we're washing our hands. Like, I don't care if my dry cleaner is washing his hands. Like, shit, I just want you to be open. You don't have to tell me what you're doing at COVID-19. You know, like, are you going to be open and clean my clothes? So it's kind of, I mean, whatever. You know, it's kind of funny. It's kind of like, why would this person do that? You know, or, you
know. It's part of that reassurance, though. It's part of number one.
Well, it's engagement. It's client engagement. And I get it. It's more of a businessy thing. That you're familiar with. So anyway, the external communications, what that does is it kind of gives status reports to your constituents, to your customers, or even prospective customers about where you are, where you stand with things. And I think it's a good idea, right? Because if you close down, and you might want to do, I wish, Payway would have sent me an email because they went under. And where's Now I go up to Payway for it to go. It's not there. You know why a lot of them went under? You know, the Dairy Queen and Keller, it went under. Like, how does a Dairy Queen go under? Why didn't I get an email from Dairy Queen saying the damn thing went under when I want a Blizzard? Anyway, but seriously, getting back on this. So the external communications are a good tool to give status reports for where you are to your prospective customers. And it's really interesting because I've had, you know, and I didn't do this. I probably should have, Justin, but people would say, oh, I didn't think you were working. We would have called you, but we thought you might have shut down for the crisis. Like, oh, no, I'm still blowing and going. But so it's okay because I didn't send them an email and fire up the MailChimp or whatever. But anyway, external communications, a good thing, giving those status reports, staying engaged with your clients is a good thing. Any thoughts on that, Justin?
No, I echo everything you just said. And, I think it's just about messaging in this case, however you do it, whether it's phone calls, obviously it's not going to probably be in person, but phone calls or emails or whatever your modality is, pick a modality or pick multiple modalities and make sure you're messaging. I'm going to move on to five because we only have a couple minutes left here and I want to make sure we get through these seven here.
Oh, wow.
Number four, assess supply chains. So this is some similar to number three, actually, but this is more related to your suppliers. If you're in a diversity supply environment, making sure you have your ecosystems right. Basically here, if cash is tight, remember that not everything has to be done in cash. Cash is king. It always will be, but at least until we go back to the gold standard anyway. But get creative and think about how you can barter with other products and services. This is the entrepreneurial way. I mean, I can remember some of the first deals I did were all bartering, right? Hey, I'll do this for you if you do that for me, right? So get very creative, start to unlock your inner entrepreneur and if and where needed on that one. Number six.
Operational risks. Look at all your business, you know, assess all the operational risks such as kitchens, factories, pre-start checklist to make sure also that you're ready to go. There is going to be a ramping up, so go ahead and get a checklist to make sure that you're ready to go once the landscape permits.
Absolutely. And then last but not least, use downtime productively. We've really hammered this point home over the last 6 weeks, I would say.
You sure have. Yeah.
Personal development and your fitness, your health and vitality. By the way, folks, if you're not taking this as a sign to get your health and vitality in order, you're not on planet Earth right now, right? This is not the time to be, you know, going out and getting drunk or getting drunk at home and whatever and, you know, doing drugs and all that. This is not that time, okay? It's not, because you're putting yourself at risk. You're putting your antibodies and, you know, I mean, you're already susceptible to one of the deadliest, you know, viruses, diseases that we've ever seen in our time. Don't exacerbate it, right? So that's just my two cents on that one. But be wise with your time. Your time is there. Use the downtime productively. And those are the seven for keeping your business going during the coronavirus downturn. I hope you guys enjoyed them. I hope you took at least one of those. I think there's several good ones in there, but I hope you took at least one of those with you that you'll be able to take with you and apply directly to your business. You know, again, we use specific examples, but think further than our examples. Think about your business, put yourself in your own shoes, and apply the framework of what we've been teaching on to your own business. Bruce, I'll kick it back to you to take us home.
Yep. Been doing the same thing here with one of my revenue streams, doing a lot of YouTube videos, making adjustments to the website, building another more updated website. So really taking this time to go back and do the much needed repair jobs and honeydews and whatever that were kind of mechanical and other types of things that need to be fixed in my revenue stream. So at least I can say that. And I got Zoom, obviously. So some other things. Okay, folks. Well, thank you for listening to us today on the Concierge Coaches Show. And welcome to our first Zoom. We'll get better at this. I know I'll get better at it and probably have a better place to film from. So access us on all our social media points on Instagram at The Concierge Coaches, Concierge Coaches Show on Facebook. We're also on LinkedIn. Also, come by Apple Podcasts and iHeart. I think our podcasts are available for you to listen to. Our past shows is awesome. A great resource there for you as well. So I think we have an exciting guest for next week, at least in theory we do. So stay tuned for that.
Yeah, we have an exciting guest. Just quick bit on him. Mr. EJ Cruz. He is just an absolute phenomenal multipreneur. And he's also a full-time nurse. So I thought it was really timely right now, given what's going on with coronavirus, to have a nurse on that is literally in the trenches of this thing. So you're going to hear both the testimony and stories of him about coronavirus from a nurse perspective, but he's also going to share with you, which I think is really relevant, how he's applied that to his entrepreneurial ventures as well. So I'm really excited to have Mr. EJ Cruz on next week with us. Live on Zoom video, by the way.
On Zoom. All right, then. Well, everybody have a blessed week, and we'll see you here next week on the Concierge Coaches Show on LA Talk Radio. See you then.
Take care, everyone.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Justin Nimmergood, only on LA Talk Radio.